Greetings and welcome to episode 79 of Third Heaven Authority Podcast. I'm Mike Thompson. Many of you have already ascertained that I am a prophet of God. Sometimes prophets have different perspectives on the way that spiritual dynamics, spiritual laws, subjects, and things that are found in the scripture, the way that they play out in our lives. And I wanted to share my perspective of a couple of things that I think are extremely important. I want to talk to you today about grace, and then I'm going to save a second part for next week to talk to you about faith, grace and faith, from a prophet's perspective. Now, this is highly important because really what I'm dealing with is how they relate to the revelatory. I'm talking about prophetic revelation, regardless of how it comes. The still small voice of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, how He communicates to us with feelings and unctions, whether it's the stronger voice of the Lord as He speaks. How about dreams or visions, awarenesses? What about the gifts of the Spirit? What about angelic visitations? All of those things contain a revelation, a seed, a deposit of revelation in our hearts. Now, revelation according to the Word of God, and it may be something that is biblical, contained within the text of the Scripture, then it may be something that is extra-biblical, not unbiblical, don't misunderstand me, extra-biblical, meaning how the Holy Spirit deals with us and talking to us, leading us and guiding us and applying the principles of Scripture to our own personal circumstances on that day. It's kind of like the difference in some sense between the logos, the whole nature of the Word of God, God's logic, His plans, His purposes, and then the rhema, those nuggets of truth that are revealed to our spirit. So when we're talking about the supernatural, the voice of God, the voice of the Holy Spirit coming to us, at that point, we're talking about prophetic revelation, those things that are not caught by our outer man, the ears of our outer man, the eyes of our physical nature, but they are caught and understood and perceived by our human spirit and the Spirit of God that's on the inside. Another way of saying it is it's not outside information coming into our brain. It's inside information rising up from our spirit. So I want to talk to you about how that grace and faith pertain to that prophetic revelation. I think you will be highly interested in what I share with you today. Let's start with the subject of grace. The word grace is the Greek term charis, C-H-A-R-I-S. And my definition, the working definition that I pull out of Scripture and I use in my sermons and in helping people that are involved in our ministry, is that grace is the unmerited favor and empowering presence of God, enabling us to be who God created us to be and to do what God has called us to do. Now, I know the technical, boiled-down definition of charis is unmerited favor. And you'll see and you'll hear that a lot. But when you apply that to Scripture, you find that it doesn't always fit very well because the word grace is used by the Apostle Paul, for instance, pertaining to how you walk out the revelation of God. Remember, even when he went before the Lord in 2 Corinthians 12 to try to get the buffeting from the demonic spirits off of him, Jesus said, "My grace is sufficient." In other words, he was telling him how you walk the spiritual dynamics, the authority that I've given to you, my leadership, all these things out in the spiritual realm, you do it by grace. Now, that's more than just unmerited favor. We find that, for instance, when it comes to finances, Paul talked to the Corinthians to abound in this grace also. There's a financial aspect of grace where it's God's covering that you don't have to earn the provisions of the anointing for finances and working all of the economic laws of the kingdom of heaven. You do it by grace. Also, we find in all the listings of the gifts of the Spirit, whether it be the motivational gifts, the charismatic gifts, the five office ministry gifts, that he says to do it according to your grace. So it's more than just the unmerited favor of God, the umbrella covering. It's also how that umbrella covering empowers his divine presence in a way that enables us to be who he created us to be and to do what he has called us to do. It covers all things. Hallelujah. Now, in line with that, I'm going to make a statement, and then we'll kind of unpack it, and I'll prove it according to Scripture. Grace is the surety of prophetic revelation. In Romans 4:13, the Scripture says about Abraham. Remember that Abraham is the one who had revelation of that we are saved by faith. It's justification by faith. Even at his time, operating under old covenant principles, he tapped into the relationship with God that brought about all of the promises of God. So here we are again, beginning with Romans 4:13. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world. Promise. Now, what's a promise? That's the revelation. God appeared to him. God spoke to him. Well, let's think about it in kind of this context for a minute. In the 16th chapter of Acts, Paul is on his, I believe it was second missionary journey. And listen to how the Holy Spirit leads him, guides him, how that prophetic revelation comes to him. Beginning with the sixth verse, then we'll go back to Romans in just a minute. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. So, in other words, Paul had already, on his first missionary journey, established the four main churches in Asia Minor, which were just north of Jerusalem. He gets there, he encourages the church, and then where's he going to go from there? Well, he tries to go to Asia, which is east, but the Holy Spirit stops him. Now, it doesn't say exactly how, but that's revelation. The Holy Spirit revealed, spoke to him, gave him a dream. Something happened. The Holy Spirit said, no, don't go that way. Verse 7, after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia. Now, Bithynia is north. He couldn't go east, so now he's going to try to go north because he wants to evangelize. But the Spirit did not permit them. Stopped him again. Eighth verse. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. So in other words, they ended up going west, and they made it over to the coastal area of Troas. Verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul. Now, it's specific about what manner the revelation was given to Paul. Came in the night, a vision appeared in the night. In other words, a dream. But a lot of the prophets call dreams visions of the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. So now he's got some more firm direction. He has a word from the Lord. What's he going to do with it? Now, after he had seen the vision immediately, we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. So he has that. Now, what I'm telling you is that faith is the surety. Let's go back now to Abraham in Romans 4. It says, for the promise that he would be the heir of the world. In other words, prophetic revelation was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. He had to believe God. Next verse. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace. Did you catch that? It was all by faith that it might be according to grace. Grace what? The unmerited favor and empowering presence of God, enabling us to be who God created us to be and to do what God has called us to do. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed. It was by grace so that it could be sure, guaranteed. Because you see, if it's not by grace, if it's based upon the condition of man and the abilities of man, we're going to mess it up absolutely every time. Prophetic revelation is built within the context of a surety that it came from God by grace. And therefore, we can walk it out. He says, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now, the Amplified version there says that it's by grace to make it stable and valid and guaranteed. Grace makes the revelation stable, valid, and guaranteed. In other words, the surety. Now, in the next chapter, the second verse, Romans 5, it says, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Now, as I mentioned, I'm going to talk about faith in my next episode so I can connect these together for full revelation. But the important thing is that we have access into the grace by faith, okay? But now, the grace in which we stand. Stand, the Amplified version says, we have access, entrance, and introduction. It says that in which we firmly and safely stand. Praise God. So again, grace is the surety. Yeah, the unmerited favor. Yes, the empowering presence. But it is the surety, making it stable and fixed. Now, what gets us into that grace? Faith. But the grace is what makes it sure. As children of God, we live in the supernatural. Now, we may have to learn what that means, develop it, train our human spirits, begin to walk in the supernatural in the way that we hear the voice of God and learn how to receive revelation through our inner man, but we live there. And so God has intended that because we are the children of God, that we have access to the supernatural, to all of the miracles and to the manifestation of the gifts and the voice of God. And like I said, angelic visitations, etc. We can do all the power things of the kingdom of heaven, but they're by grace. Why? Because the revelation itself, the promise, the word of God that's contained within it is by grace. It's upheld by grace. Grace is its surety. So therefore, when the Holy Spirit speaks to us and he gives us direction and wisdom and all of those wonderful things that guide our lives and take it out of the realm of trying to figure it all out in our own reasonings and just hope that everything works, we actually have the grace of God in display with prophetic revelation. So we can tap into that grace, and we know that God will back everything up by his grace. Because remember, it's a surety. God isn't going to withhold it. He doesn't tell you something. Now, let's be clear. He doesn't give you the word of God, the Bible itself, the holy word of God, and then just say, oh, but I didn't mean it. or this isn't for you, or there's no way that you're good enough to be able to have that. Neither does he, by the Spirit of God, speak to you any revelation and direction for your own life, or even a supernatural revelation and power and wisdom and anointing to minister to other people, and then likewise say, oh, but you know, you got to earn this. This is something that you have to be good enough to do. No, it's by grace. Grace is the surety. That means it will not be withdrawn and taken back on God's side. That means that any stupid things that we do in the natural realm, or faith and unbelief, or casual sins, or any kind of mess-ups and stuff that we do in the flesh, will negate it, because that promise is sealed in the grace. It's a grace seed, as it were. The wonderful thing about that is that we don't have to strive. We don't have to try to make it come to pass, because it's not only given by grace, it's upheld and it's released and manifest by grace. So we get our flesh out of the way, and we just simply receive it and believe God, and then walk out that revelation. Isn't that wonderful? At this point in my life, because I've been doing this for decades, I've come to a place to where I watch people around me trying to manifest, to get the revelation, to get God to move in their lives, or if he speaks to them in some way, to figure it out and make it happen by their own flesh. You know, speaking of Abraham and Sarah, you remember that Sarah laughed, and that at first they couldn't believe how that the revelation and the promise that was contained in the grace could apply to them without them getting mixed up in it and by their flesh and their own works bring it to pass. So they created an Ishmael. We don't need Ishmaels connected with our prophetic revelations, because they're not manifestations of the revelations. They're manifestations of the flesh. Eventually, the grace held true, and it produced an Isaac. So you and I want Isaacs, manifestations of the promise in our lives. Keep your flesh out of it. It's not based upon how you grit your teeth, how you force yourself to try to come into behavioral alignment, all of the manipulations that we kind of get caught up with. And, you know, it's just not manifest that way. Remember to stay in the grace, because the grace is the surety of it all. Now, let me give you a few spiritual equations. If you have a piece of paper, you can draw this out as I describe it. If you don't have a piece of paper in your own mind, you can see it, visualize it. Visualize or draw a round circle. And then that circle itself, the line, label as truth, which is the revelation. It's a truth. On the inside of the circle, write the word grace. So you see, all truth is a boundary. And so that truth is actually the revelation. Revelation with a promise and an assignment contained within it. That promise is for you, and the assignment is that you can receive it and walk it out. So that circle, the line itself, is truth. It contains an atmosphere on the inside of truth, or the promise, or the prophetic revelation, that's called grace. So grace is the atmosphere and the spirit of spiritual authorization and empowerment. So God has a boundary and he has an atmosphere. The boundary is truth, I'll say it again, which is prophetic revelation that contains a promise and an assignment within it. And then he also has an atmosphere of truth, which is the spirit of spiritual authorization and empowerment. Now, let me give you these four equations. It'll help you understand. These are spiritual equations. Grace plus truth equals faith. You see that? The line, the boundary, the reality, the truth, with the atmosphere of grace, produces faith. You get outside of that, there's no faith. Here's the second spiritual equation. Grace plus truth plus time equals victory. Now, that just simply explains that even though there's no time in the spiritual realm as we know it, that God operates in conjunction with us according to the time element of the natural realm we live in. Faith and patience, we inherit the promises. So there's always victory. Grace plus truth equals faith, but that faith plus time equals victory. Okay? Now here's the third spiritual equation. Grace minus truth. In other words, if you were to break that line of truth, the boundaries of truth, of prophetic revelation, so that the world and everything else just kind of spills into it, grace minus truth equals confusion, liberalism, and presumption. Confusion, liberalism, and presumption. It just gets all mixed up because it's mixed up with man's stuff, with emotional influences and all the other stuff. We have to stay true to truth. And we have to have that atmosphere of grace. Now, here's the last spiritual equation. Truth, the border of the circle, minus grace. If you remove the atmosphere of grace, equals legalism and lifeless works. It becomes a jail because there's no life, there's no passion. The Holy Spirit is not involved by the grace of God. So grace is extremely important. It is not just something that comes into play when we mess up or when we've done everything that we can do and now we have to throw ourselves on the grace of God. Grace is involved in everything. Everything, our whole lives, our salvation, our baptism in the Holy Spirit, our walk with God, our learning the Word of God, our ministry, the anointings, everything, grace is involved because grace is the surety of the truth or the prophetic revelation that God is giving to us. Hallelujah. My real prayer is that you'll operate in the prophetic by grace. You can't force the Holy Spirit to give you a revelation. It'll end up as presumption. And once the revelation comes, you can't force it to happen by your own flesh. You have to walk out the grace. Now, that's where faith comes in. So next episode, we'll cover that. I hope that you've enjoyed this prophet's perspective on how grace operates in the prophetic realm. That'll set you free, and I guarantee you, it'll open up your heart to being able to be so much more effective and accurate in the spiritual realm. Now I want to pray for you. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, as I pray for the listeners now, I pray that a spirit of revelation would come unto them. And as that revelation comes to them at this moment of grace itself, that the grace would be the surety, and that from this moment forward, it would open up an entire spiritual world of truth and promise and revelation, prophetically coming into their lives. I thank you for that, and I release that anointing now upon them in Jesus' name. God bless you abundantly, and subscribe to this podcast if you haven't already done so, so that you get a notification and you won't miss any of the episodes.